We come to the last in the series on understanding mercy. If you're visiting today, we have been in a series as we've looked at what is mercy and what is it all about. And as we come to the end of this series, I want you to know that in spite of the weeks that we have looked at this wonderful subject, we have barely scratched the surface. There's so much more on God's mercy toward us and us showing mercy to others that we still need to learn and understand. The Bible tells us that when you show mercy to others, it shows that you genuinely love God. It builds fellowship and it brings people together. And as you become more like Christ and grow spiritually, you start showing this mercy and it becomes a ministry. And it's actually a form of being able to share our faith with other people in the way that we share and show mercy. And today, in this last message, I want to look at mercy as a witness in this world in which we live. You see, God wants us, each and every one of us, to be an agent of His mercy in a world that is upside down. He wants us to share our faith. And one of the ways we can do that is by showing mercy. Just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He said this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You will be my witnesses. Now in a court of law, a witness is someone who gets in there, stands in the witness box, and tells what they saw happen. It is not the job of the witness to convince the jury or to be the prosecution or the defense. As a witness, all that person has to say is, this is what I saw, or this is what happened to me. And a lot of people think they only have one testimony. If you say to somebody, would you share a testimony? They usually get up and tell you how they came to know Jesus Christ. And yes, that is a testimony. But you have many, many more testimonies. Because nobody else knows how God has worked in your life specifically besides you. And when you tell that story, that's called your testimony. How God helped you through a health crisis or a financial crisis. How God saved your marriage. You have literally hundreds of testimonies to share. And the one you share is the one which relates to the person that you are talking to. You know, God never wastes any experience in your life. And I found over the years, as I've shared with people in different contexts and different crises that they're facing, I've been able to share sometimes from my own personal experience and how God has worked in that. And be able to say to them, God has no favorites. What He did for me, He can do for you too. To be a witness simply means I share what God has done in my life. You don't have to know a whole lot of scripture. You don't even have to be a theologian. You just share what God has done for you. That's it. Jesus did not say, you will be my defense attorney. It's not your job to defend God. Jesus did not say, you will be my prosecutor. It's not your job to convince people. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Your job is just to be a witness. And you are the only authority on you. Now, what's the best way to do that? In an unkind, mean world, our greatest witness is actually showing mercy to others. Because in this world in which we live, that is so unusual. Showing mercy means we do what is best for them rather than what's best for me. Every time you show mercy in the world, that is your greatest Christian witness. Because that's exactly what Jesus would do. Because we're in a world that is unmerciful, and very often unforgiving. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, show mercy just as your Father shows mercy. So how do you show mercy? Well, I want to look first of all at some of the principles of mercy. How can I, as an individual, as a Christian, be more merciful? If you want to build a lifestyle of mercy, well, first of all, you start by looking and listening for people's needs. The needs of people all around you. The needs of people in your family. Mercy always begins with a sense of awareness. It begins with noticing and paying attention to those around you. You see, if you don't really care about them, you're not going to be aware of what's actually happening in their lives. The reason why we're not merciful is not because we're bad or mean people. Not at all. The number one destroyer of mercy in your life is the fact that you are just too busy. Too busy. When you're too busy moving from one thing to the next thing in your schedule, in your hectic and rushed pace of life, you're not paying attention to the people that are around you. And if you're not noticing and looking and listening, you can't possibly be merciful. Philippians 2 and verse 4 says this, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. You see, attention is an act of love. When my kids were small, and I notice with my grandchildren now, I see this. If I'm distracted and maybe looking at the television or something else, and they want to say something to me, and they're talking to me, but I'm looking over there, they will take my face in their hands like this and pull it around so that I'm looking at them. As if to say, look at me, Pops. Why? Because I'll tell you this, the highest form of love is not sex. It's attention. Attention says, you know what? You actually matter to me. When you give people attention, you know what you're doing? You're giving them something of your time. And your time is your life. You see, you can always give people gifts and get more gifts. You can always give people money and then make more money. But when you give people attention, you are giving them a slice of your life that you are never getting back again. So you're giving them the highest, most expensive gift you could possibly give them. And that is a part of your life. And that is the highest form of love. You see, I've talked to a lot of husbands and dads. And they'll say to me, you know, I just don't get it, Mike. I don't understand my wife and my kids. I buy them everything they need. They have no material needs. What more do they want? I'll tell you. They want your attention. They want you. And it's worth more than anything else you could possibly give them. When you look people in the eye and you listen to them intently, you are showing mercy. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, there's a young man with a number of problems, and he comes to Jesus and he asks him these questions. And the Bible says this, Jesus looked at him and loved him. If you love people, you will look at them. When I tell my wife, I love you, and she's sitting here and I say, I love you, and I'm looking over there, it doesn't resound very well with her. I must look at her. And when you look at them, you're showing love. So start by listening and looking for people's needs around you if you want to develop a lifestyle of mercy. The second thing is this. Don't be offended by their sin. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you something. Grace is messy. Grace and mercy are unconditional love. It's not get your act together and then come and talk to me and we'll get on the same page and I'll accept you. No. If you're going to minister to people and if you're going to show them mercy, you can't be offended by them. Jesus wasn't offended by the people he hung around with in his day on earth. And let me tell you, he hung around with some of the worst sinners of the day. The prostitutes, the drunks, the corrupt business people. In fact, he was often accused of guilt by association because he associated with people who were corrupt and very often immoral. People who were unloving, unkind, manipulative. Yet he was not offended by them. The Bible says, look out for the needs of other people around you. But I can't look out for their needs if I'm constantly looking down on them. So if you claim to be a legitimate follower of Jesus Christ, you can't look down on anybody. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you read the Word of God, you will find that there are a lot of things that Jesus did not say. One of those things that Jesus never said was, you know what, you don't have to love certain kinds of people. He never said that, ever. If their politics are terrible, if their lifestyle is shocking, if their moral compass is disgusting, you don't have to love them because they're out of place and offline. Sorry. If you're going to be an agent of mercy, the Bible says you must show mercy to everybody. Here's what the Bible says. Jude chapter 1 verses 22 and 23. Show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. There are still others to whom you need to show mercy because of their lifestyle or whatever. But be careful that you aren't contaminated by their sins. In other words, show mercy. And showing mercy doesn't mean that I excuse everything that they do and say it's okay, because it's not okay. If you're out there and addicted to all sorts of things, that is not okay. And showing mercy doesn't mean that I'm going to get addicted with you. But I still show you mercy without being corrupted by who you are. Be careful not to get yourself involved in their sin. In other words, it's the difference between acceptance on the one hand and approval on the other. Jesus accepts me completely, warts and all. But he does not approve necessarily of everything I do. There's a difference. We are to love people and accept them, but it doesn't mean that everything they do is right. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. Most importantly, love each other deeply. Love has a way of not looking at others' sin. Did you notice the first two points? The first one says, look out for people's interests. And then point two says, don't look out for people's sins. Love covers a multitude of sin. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Be patient with each other. Making allowance for each other's faults, that's called mercy, because of your love. Now, I want to give you a principle that I honestly believe that if every Christian in South Africa adopted it, it would change the face of our land. It's this. Don't expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. Now, that's so simple, you say, and yes, it is. And it's so logical, and yes, it is. Trying to make non-believers act like believers, I can tell you now, is not going to work. Yet we try to do that, don't we? Because the Bible says they don't have the power to change. I did not have the power to change until I personally invited Jesus Christ to come into my life and change me on the inside. Then I had the power to change. To ask a non-believer to have the same moral standards as a believer is absolute nonsense. First, they don't understand it. And second, they don't have any power to do it. It's getting the cart before the horse. The book of Romans, and we're going to have in the next weekend at camp, our brother Brian is going to be sharing from the book of Romans. Wonderful book. But the book of Romans says the law is powerless. It doesn't have the power to change people's lives. Only grace and mercy can change people's lives. The law has never changed anybody. We could make a law, and this country has made many laws, but we could make a law that outlaws bigotry. Is that going to turn a bigot into a lover? No, it's not. Only Jesus is able to change that person on the inside. So don't expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are believers. And if you're going to win them to Christ, you have to love them where they are and show them God's mercy. Here's a good example. Matthew, as many of you will know, was one of Jesus' disciples. But before he became a disciple, he was a tax collector. In those days, tax collecting was the most hated profession in the Roman Empire because it was open to all kinds of extortion, and tax collectors generally were corrupt. Jesus goes to a dinner party. Get this. He goes to a dinner party with who? Tax collectors. Matthew 9, 10 to 13 says, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees, you know, the legalist religious leaders, saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Boy, isn't that so loving? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people do not need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call those who think that, I have not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I didn't come for people, he said, who think they are well. I came for those who know they are sick, who know they are broken, who know they have all kinds of problems in their lives. I've come to invite sinners to me, not those who think they're righteous and pious. The legalistic Pharisees couldn't understand why Jesus got so close to the crooks and riffraff of his day. He's going to dinner parties, and there are a bunch of drunks and gluttons, and they accused him of that in the Bible. But you know something? Jesus was not looking for their approval. Rather, he was looking and listening for the needs of desperate people around him. He was going to where the needs of people were. And he wasn't offended by them. You can't help somebody if you're offended by them. You've got to show them mercy. Number three, here's the third principle. Choose my words carefully. If you're going to be God's agents of mercy in this world, you must choose your words carefully. You see, mercy actually puts a monitor on my mouth. There are some things I just can't say. I can't be mean and rude to people. I can't be sarcastic and constantly wanting to pull them down. Colossians 4 verse 6 says, when you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. If you can't get what you want at a shop or in a restaurant and you become offensive to the people who are serving you, let me tell you something. You are not being persuasive. Most times you are simply making a spectacle of yourself and embarrassing the people around you. Look up here on the screen. It's not on your outline. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words. The kind that build up and provide what is needed. Your words tear people down, or do they build them up? So that what you say will do good to all those who hear you. That's God telling you and I how to speak if we're showing mercy. We must speak in such a way that we help other people to become stronger. Now, how do I do that? Well, you ask God for wisdom. See, wisdom makes you patient. The wiser you are, the more patient you become. And merciful you will become. The more you understand the hurts of other people, the more you will be able to give them space, and the more gracious and merciful you are going to be to them. James chapter 3 and verse 17. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times. In other words, if I'm not gentle, I am not wise and willing to yield to others. Wisdom is full of mercy. The more your life is filled with mercy, the wiser you are going to be. And the wiser you become, the more merciful you are going to be. Even with people, get this, even with people who totally disagree with you, even with people who don't like you and may consider themselves to be your enemy, you still show them mercy because you're wise. Number four, value saving people over keeping rules. In the Bible, saving people is far more important than simply keeping rules. And Jesus modeled this for us repeatedly. One example you can find is in Matthew chapter 12. I'm not going to read it to you, but what actually happened was, you see, it was against the religious laws or rules of the day for you to work on a on the Sabbath. And if you were picking grain in a field or anything like that, it was considered work. So Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field of grain, and they're hungry. And his disciples start to pull some of the grain off the stalk and eat it. Well, the Pharisees were absolutely indignant. And they asked, why are you guys breaking all these rules? And Jesus gives them a very simple answer. He says, because they're hungry, guys. He cared more about his disciples' empty stomachs than he did about their traditions and laws. And Jesus often healed people and in so doing broke some of the rules. Because healing people was more important to him than keeping rules. That's the God of mercy. Here's a good example. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus says this to the judgmental Pharisees. As I looked at this again this week, I love this. You Pharisees, he says, you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Now, I find this verse rather amusing because the Pharisees, as most of you will know, did not like Jesus. He was full of grace and mercy, and they were full of legalism and judgment. The only thing that Jesus ever complimented the Pharisees for was this, that they tithed. He says, you guys got that right. 10% of all you make comes back to the Lord. That's a good thing. But he says to them, you can't now use that as an excuse to do the other stuff like treating people unfairly, etc., etc. But he says you need to start treating them fairly, showing justice and mercy and having faith. By the way, I still sometimes hear people saying, well, Jesus never spoke about tithing. But here's a good example to show you where he did. You need to tithe, sure. But you need to give. That must not become an excuse or for you to be able to give an excuse to overlook all the other stuff that Jesus expects you to do. Now, those are the four principles of mercy. Let me close quickly with the places to be an agent of mercy. Where can I be an agent of mercy? Just some quick examples. First of all, look for people in a crisis. Look for people in a crisis. When people are in a crisis, your ear becomes a healing tool. You can help heal people by just listening to them. That's why people will pay good money for counsel, because the counselors will listen to them. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. A burden could be a lot of things. It could be physical. It could be financial. It could be a relational burden. But most times, burdens are of an emotional stress type. And when people are under emotional stress, they tend to get very weighed down. He says, carry each other's burdens. How do you do that? By listening. When you listen to someone who is going through a crisis, you are actually helping carry their burden. And in this way, the Bible says you fulfill the law of Christ. That is the great commandment. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Every time you listen to someone in a crisis, you are loving your neighbor as yourself, letting them unload their burden on you, and you sharing it with them. Number two, look for people with unmet needs and help them. Practical needs. Tell me, can I drive you somewhere? Do you need me to run an errand for you? Can I help you clean up your house or paint your house? Whatever. Look for people with unmet needs and help them. That is being an agent of mercy. Romans 15, verses 2 and 3. And I want to read this from the Message translation. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the other people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he helped out. That's what mercy does. We look for people's unmet needs and we help them. Here's another one. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Do you know that literally every day of your life, there are people around you that are grieving? There are people around you who have experienced loss. They might have lost a job. They might have lost a loved one. They might have lost their finances. They might just have lost a dream. Loss is a universal problem in life. And you're going to have many losses in your life. There is no loss. There is no loss without grief and pain. And when that happens, God wants you and I to be agents of mercy. Are you too busy and hectic to notice the people who are actually grieving around you? Do you know enough about what's happening in the losses that are taking place in their lives? 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 4. God comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we have received from God. Number 4. Look for people needing friends and show hospitality. I'm talking about people who tend to be shy and reticent and who aren't exactly the life of the party. They might feel uncomfortable and awkward in social settings. They may even be very unpopular. Everybody needs friends in their life. And one of the ways you can be an agent of mercy is to look for people who are lonely and begin to show them hospitality. Romans 12 and verse 13. Look for opportunities to be hospitable. You see, hospitality is a lost art today. First, we're too busy. And second, we're too self-centered sometimes. We don't know how to just slow down and show hospitality to people. A cup of coffee. Invite them for a meal. And I'm not talking about your close friends. I mean, that's easy to do. Just invite someone for dinner that you've never, ever had for dinner. And I'm not talking about eating them. Invite them to eat with you. The Bible emphasizes hospitality. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it says that one thing we will be judged for in the judgment day, when we stand before the Lord and give an account, is how we treated other people. In this passage, in Matthew 25, Jesus says this, I was alone and you invited me into your house. I was alone and you invited me into your house. You brought me in. You welcomed me in. When was the last time you showed anyone, a stranger, hospitality? Number five, look for people who need a second chance. Wow. They're everywhere. They are everywhere. Everyone's had failures and has sinned and fallen short. Everyone has flaws and has made mistakes. Maybe people have had a failed business, a failed marriage, a failure in some relationship or the other. You need to look for people who need a second chance and show them mercy. One of the ways you know when somebody needs a second chance is that they often feel depressed and they're filled with despair. And they're thinking to themselves, how can I recover from this? I've gone too far. This past week, a young father took his own life because he was in this place. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 says, when people sin, you should forgive them. Comfort them so they won't give up in despair. They don't fall into the trap of depression and despondency. Giving people a second chance is one of the most powerful ways that you can actually show mercy. Last one. Number six. Look for people who are rude. Hello. That shouldn't be difficult. I mean, just get on the road and watch the taxis. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. You know what? That will blow their minds or maybe their tires. Because they expect to be greeted with rudeness. 1 Peter 3 verse 9. Don't repay evil with evil. Never retaliate when people insult you or say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Why? That is what God wants you to do. And He will bless you for it. If you want God's blessing on your life, learn how to be kind to rude people and not retaliate. Living a lifestyle of mercy will get you all kinds of amazing benefits and blessings. But it's going to cost you time. You've got to be willing to take the time. That passage in Matthew 25, I'm going to read it quickly. Jesus says this, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And we will say to the Lord, Lord, when did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you hungry and feed you? And I will say to you, says Jesus, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of one of these my brothers, you did it to me. You see, friends, what we are talking about here this morning is the essence of Christianity, being agents of mercy. As we conclude this series on mercy, we need to start living a lifestyle of mercy. The Bible says one day God is going to reward you for your acts of mercy. you know what? I want you to get those rewards. I really do. I want you to get those rewards. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. God will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to ask you this morning to help us value what matters most. To see people brought into your kingdom. Help us to be your agents of mercy to people who are in a crisis. Help us to care as you so wonderfully demonstrated and showed us. And to remember that everyone we meet, every single person we meet, is someone you died for. And not to expect unbelievers to act like believers until they are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. Your mercy, your love, and your faithfulness have never failed us. Help us to show your kindness and your mercy to others in such a way that it might break through and ultimately they might find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we humbly pray this in your precious and wonderful name. Amen.